Exodus chapter 39, verse 1. And of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made plaited garments for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. Now it's going to describe how they created the garments that God told Moses to have them make when Moses and God were on the mountain. 2. And he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. The ephod is the long apron that goes over the shoulders. And then on front of the apron goes the small breastplate. And they're both made of the same material. 3. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into threads to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen, the work of the skillful workmen. This is thread by thread, so it is all these colors mixed, because it says that each color has its own thread. I think on the screen, the threads weren't mixed on the screen and the veil of the tabernacle, but this is definitely on the ephod and the breastplate, the threads are definitely mixed up. 4. They made shoulder pieces for it, joined together at the two ends. Was it joined together? So I think it joins at the shoulder, it looks like, at the top of the shoulder. 5. And the skillfully woven band that was upon it, wherewith to gird it on, was of the same piece and like the work thereof, of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. 6. And they wrought the onyx stones, enclosed in settings of gold, graven with the engravings of a signet, according to the names of the children of Israel. One onyx stone has the oldest 6 sons of Jacob, and that's on the right shoulder. And then on the left shoulder has the youngest 6 sons of Jacob. And each of these sons are the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And then those are set in a gold casing around the edge, and then the gold has little tiny holes in it that's sewn into the cloth so that the priest has these black stones on each shoulder. 7. And he put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod to be stones of memorial for the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this means that Jesus, the high priest, who this garment represents, is carrying Israel on his shoulders. 8. And he made the breastplate, the work of the skillful workmen, like the work of the ephod, of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It's not gold-colored thread, but actual gold, made into thread, intertwined with blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, and fine twined linen. The white represents righteousness, the blue represents holiness, the purple represents the royalty of Jesus because he's from the tribe of Judah, gold represents the deity of Jesus because he is God, scarlet represents his blood being sacrificed on the cross. 9. It was 4 square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being double. Probably 8 inches in span, because a span is when a man spreads his fingers out, and it's from the tip of his thumb to the tip of his pinky. So for a man, that would be at least 8 inches, maybe a little bigger. So it's about 8 by 8 is the breastplate. The breastplate is the part that has all the 12 stones on it, and each stone represents a tribe, and each stone, and these are precious, expensive stones. These are very precious, like one of them is topaz, for instance, and these are really big stones. Each stone could be 2 inches wide, because there's 3 on the top, 3 in the second row, 3 in the third row, and 3 on the bottom. These are huge stones, because it's going to be on a man's chest. They're big, super expensive. Each stone has one of the names of a tribe engraved on it. The ephod was very precious because of the stones and the gold in it. I can't imagine what it would be worth if you made it today. Hundreds of thousands at least. 10. And they set in it 4 rows of stones. A row of carnelian, topaz, and smaragd was the first row. 11. And the second row, a carbuncle, a sapphire, and an emerald. 12. And the third row, a hyacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. 13. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in fittings of gold in their settings. What I find interesting, and I wish it wasn't so, but the Bible never tells you which tribe is for which stone. Either the 3 oldest sons are on the top row, the next 3 oldest are in the second row, etc., or the tribes are in the same order that they were around the tabernacle, because around the tabernacle they had a very specific order. And I'll tell you what that was. And I'll also tell you the oldest to youngest order. If the stone names are in the order of the encampment around the tabernacle, then the top three stones would be Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, because those face east. And they're called the camp of Judah. Then the ones on the north are called the camp of Dan. Those are Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So maybe those are on the third row, because Reuben is, I think, the second born son. So you would think his camp would be mentioned next. So you would think that his camp would be the second row, which is Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. And then the bottom row would be the youngest sons, which are Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. Now, Manasseh and Ephraim are the sons of Joseph, but Jacob gave Joseph a double blessing, because instead of blessing Joseph, he blessed both of his sons. And that's how Joseph got a double blessing. Instead of Benjamin, Joseph, and somebody else, it's Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And so they would be on the bottom row. But that's if you read it in the order of the camps. If you read it in the order from oldest to youngest, then the order would be Reuben, Simeon, and Levi in the top row, Judah, Dan, and Naphtali in the second row, Gad, Asher, and Issachar in the third row, and Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin in the last row. And in that case, Joseph would be listed on the stone instead of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Bible doesn't explain which way this is. The other interesting thing that the Bible does is in the book of Revelation, it gives you the name of the 12 tribes as being Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. That leaves Ephraim out and puts Joseph in his place, and it leaves Dan out and puts Levi in his place. We know we got to have Levi because that's the priestly tribe. But in the wilderness, they're listed as Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Simeon, Reuben, Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. So we get Ephraim instead of Joseph, and we get Dan instead of Levi, because the Levites were encamped around the tabernacle. That brings up the question, is the tribe of Levi in the ephod on the breastplate? And it's possible that they're not, but I think they have to be, because Levi does get called up several times when the Israelites ask God questions. Levi does get called up sometimes. So I think Levi does have its own stone on the ephod, which means we would have to go with a revelation list of names that includes Levi and Joseph. This is the other interesting thing, is in the book of Revelation, there are 12 gates to heaven, and each gate has a name of one of the tribes of Israel, but it doesn't tell you what the names are on the gates. So again, in Revelation on the gates, and in the Old Testament on the ephod, we aren't told for certain what the names are. We can kind of guess what they could have been, but we can't be 100% sure. But I do think Levi is definitely on the ephod, which means that Joseph is probably on the ephod as well. If we go with the revelation list, Judah would be the carnelian, which is the very first stone. Carnelian is kind of like a fiery red color, like a little bit of an orange red. 14, and the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of his signet, every one according to his name for the 12 tribes. 15, and they made upon the breastplate plated chains of wreath and work of pure gold. The chains attach the breastplate to the ephod. Otherwise, the breastplate might flap around when the priest is walking. The chains keep the breastplate from flapping or dropping to the ground when the priest is walking and possibly bending over, because he might have to bend over at some point during doing a sacrifice or lighting the candle in the tabernacle or lighting the incense or whatever. He might at some point lean over. So I think the chains keep the ephod in place when he leans over. And the plated chains are of wreath and work of pure gold. Each of the chinks in the chain, it looks like a little tiny wreath. I believe that's what that means. 16, and they made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. The breastplate has these rings at the end, just like the altar and the Ark of the Covenant and the perfume table and the showbread table all have rings. And then you put the poles through them to carry them. Well, the breastplate also has rings and the chains are going through it to attach it to the ephod. 17, and they put the two wreath and chains of gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastplate. 18, and the two other ends of the two wreath and chains they put on the two settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod in the fore part thereof. That's what the breastplate is hanging from off the shoulders of the ephod. It's hanging from these chains. 20, and they made two rings of gold and put them on the two shoulder pieces of the ephod underneath in the fore part thereof, close by the coupling thereof, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. 21, and they did bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a thread of blue, that it might be upon the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. There's two chains on the top that connect the breastplate to the shoulders of the ephod. Likewise, there's two chains at the bottom that connect the bottom of the breastplate to the ephod, so that the breastplate won't move around when the priest is bending over, or, you know, leaning or anything. So that there's dignity because the breastplate stays in place. 22, and he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, olive blue. There's a solid blue apron type of thing. They're calling it a robe, and it's kind of like a bigger apron under the ephod, which is also an apron. First, they have the underwear, which is the linen boxer shorts. Over that, they have a long white garment like what Jesus would wear. It's just a long white robe. And it's made of pure linen, and it has a raised pattern on it that's like diamonds. Then above that, they have the long apron of the ephod that's made of all those colors, including the gold. And it goes from the shoulders to the knees. It's really long. But between the ephod and the white garment, which is the Jesus robe, is a blue apron that's bigger than the ephod, but smaller than the white robe. So under the ephod, you see blue, and under the blue, you see white. The blue robe has shorter sleeves. The white robe would have longer sleeves. And then the ephod just has shoulder straps, but they're super thick shoulder straps. And blue represents holiness. 23, and the whole of the robe in the midst thereof, as the whole of a coat of mail, with a binding round about the whole of it, that it should not be rent. The whole is where the head goes. And then there's a binding around the whole so that it won't rip. 24, and they made upon the skirts of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. They have threads that are intertwined, blue, purple, red, and linen. And that's making this little, kind of like a crocheted or a macrame type object that looks like a pomegranate. It's in the shape of a pomegranate. And to me, that represents the fruit of the tree of life, because we're going to heaven. And that's hanging from this blue inner apron that's under the ephod. 25, and they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the skirts of the robe round about between the pomegranates. The pomegranates are all around the bottom, like a fringe, and in between each pomegranate is a golden, solid golden bell, little tiny bell. There's bells and pomegranates all around as fringe at the bottom of the garment, so that when the priest walks, you can hear him coming. And that is to save the priest's life, because he needs to be announced with the sound of the bells when he comes into the Holy of Holies once a year, which is where the Ark of the Covenant is. If he doesn't have those bells announcing his presence, then he will die when he enters behind the veil. Also, it alerts the priests outside that if he does die because he isn't consecrated, or he did something that displeased the Lord, then they can pull him out with a rope that's tied to his ankle. And he has these pomegranates and bells on the skirt of his robe round about to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. 27, and they made the tunics of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons. Now the tunics are what I called the Jesus robe, the really long garment that's on the inside. And linen keeps you from sweating. That's why God has them do it with linen, because he doesn't want them to sweat. 28, and the meter of fine linen, and the goodly head tires of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twined linen. The breeches are the boxer shorts, the underwear, to keep them from being naked near the altar. And then the meter, in some Bible translations, it's called a bonnet, and it does kind of look like a bonnet. And that keeps their head from sweating, and it also protects their head from the sun so that they won't get as hot when they're out there under the sun doing the sacrifices. It'll keep them cool and dry. 29, and the girdle of the fine twined linen, blue and purple and scarlet, the work of the weaver in colors, as the Lord commanded Moses. The girdle doesn't have gold in it. I thought it did originally, but there's no gold in the girdle, but it has all the other colors. The girdle is like a really thick sash that goes around the waist or the rib cage. 30, and they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. Now, the holy plate is like a crown, and it goes at the bottom of the bonnet around the priest's head. The white bonnet part is made of linen going above that, and then the bottom of the crown is solid gold, and it has written on it, holy to the Lord. So the priest is holy to the Lord when he's doing his priestly work. He's consecrated, but it also represents Jesus Christ, who is holy. 31, and they tied unto it a thread of blue to fasten it upon the meter above, as the Lord commanded Moses. This golden crown is fastened on the head with a blue thread, and blue represents holiness. And I'm imagining the thread is in the back of the crown, connecting both sides of it. That's how I imagine it. 31, and they tied unto it a thread of blue to fasten it upon the meter above, as the Lord commanded Moses, to fasten it on the bonnet. 32, thus was finished all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. It's repeated for a purpose. Everything they did is repeated because to show you that it matches the instructions that God gave Moses on the mountain, so that we know what did God tell Moses to do and what did the children of Israel actually do. And it's the exact same thing. They obeyed God. 33, and they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, and its pillars and its sockets. When they finished making everything to set the big, huge tabernacle tent up, they brought it to him to inspect. 34, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of seal skins, and the veil of the screen. 35, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the ark cover. And the staves are what you carry it by. 36, the table, all the vessels thereof, and the showbread. They actually cooked the showbread and brought it to him. This is pretty cool. In addition to everything else that was made. 37, the pure candlestick, the lamps thereof, even the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for the light. They brought him the lampstand that's going to have the oil, but they also brought him the oil. 38, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the screen for the door of the tent. Remember, the screen is the front door of the tabernacle. So they brought him the incense that's going to be used on the perfume table and on the showbread table. 39, the brazen altar and its grating of brass, its staves and all its vessels, the laver and its base. So that's the altar that goes in the courtyard where all the animals are sacrificed. So the altar is really big. The altar is probably the biggest piece of furniture, and the laver and its base. 40, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the cords thereof and the pins thereof, and those are the things that go in the ground, and all the instruments of the service of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So that's all the dishes and everything. 41, the plaited garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. They have all these sets of clothes for more than one person. Aaron is going to wear the most holy garments because he'll be the high priest. They need different garments for different occasions, and I think we'll learn more about that later. 42, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. They've completed all of this. 43, and Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. He pronounces a blessing over all the workers and says, you know, you did it just right. You did exactly as God said. And that's really beautiful, to do things exactly as God tells us. So they haven't set it up yet, but they brought him everything. And that concludes Exodus chapter 39.